As some of you are aware, I've just returned from some travels, part of which included a trip to Pennsylvania to see and be with the Wilsons and the Foxes. And I want to give you just briefly to say, it didn't even dawn on me that it had been 3 years since I was there last, or almost 3 years. And not that I feel that any of that was a misstep, but it was really good to be in Pennsylvania again. You know, there's a ground that's not terra firma. There is a ground that is not sand, rock, and dirt. There's a ground that's spiritual. And we are part of a company. We are a part of a company that occupy some spiritual ground. We have some spiritual ground in Pennsylvania and the Mid-Atlantic. For more than a decade and a half, I traveled extensively into that region, from New Jersey down to Virginia, back and forth. And there were many times that we would look around, and when I say we, Sam was traveling in there, Doug was traveling in there, any number of us were traveling and working in the Mid-Atlantic. And on many occasions, we would look around and there would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that had kind of come out to hear the word of the Lord that we were speaking. And not that there aren't some, but you understand that the gate is straight and the road is narrow. And we were told by the Lord, that there would be a few that would find it. Everybody say the word few. None of my comments ever are intended to imply that we are the few. No, I don't think that way. It's not what I believe. It's certainly not the case. But we can trust the words of Jesus when he said a few. And one of the things that happened to me two Saturday mornings ago, yesterday, 2 weeks ago, was in preparation for a gathering at Dan and Darlene Fox's home, that we knew there would be some folks coming from central Pennsylvania and here and there. One of the things that happened was I knew that there would be people arriving sometime around noon, and that we would be doing an all afternoon into the evening event. And in preparation, I'd already been thinking about a direction and felt like I had a clear direction for that gathering. But I didn't necessarily expect what happened on Saturday morning. As I was thinking about the Wilsons and the Foxes, the word of the Lord came to me out of the scripture and four times in every gospel speaking about John the Baptist. The scripture says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I began to reflect on just my sample size, just my experience with the Wilsons and the Foxes. And we understand they represent a microcosm. They're just a sample of us and the larger us, wherever the larger us may be found today in the world. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness.
Amen.
In the wilderness.
Come on.
When we heard the word of the Lord, Melinda, to cast our net on the other side, we had no idea what the practical implications of casting our net on the other side would be. Different, of course. We understood that it would be different. In what kinds of ways and how different, or how would it differ, we didn't know. But one thing is for certain, we knew the voice of one crying. We knew the voice. And when we answered the voice, I remember the very first time I met this man on the telephone. You remember that phone call? When was that?
10 years ago now, this month.
He called me. Why did he call me? I didn't know him. On that day, I didn't even necessarily care to know him. Now, I've come to love him and like him and am so blessed that he's in my life and
Amen.
We're in each other's lives. Yeah. But this is just a guy from the Tyler, Texas area that I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But he called. Why? He called because he had heard a voice. Now look, let's be clear about something, and let's be as clear as we can. He wasn't motivated because he had heard a man's voice.
Hallelujah.
He had heard a voice through a voice.
Come on.
But the voice that he heard was the voice of the Lord calling out to him, calling him out of an occupied place, calling him out of a familiar place, calling him out of a place that he knew where everything was put and placed and arranged and all of this. And when he heard that voice and he answered that call to come out, he came out into a wild place. An unoccupied place. An unfamiliar place. A place where little infrastructure could be found. No water wells. Gotta wait to get water out of a rock. What kind of place is this? And look, don't you look at me with that look. Because every one of us, at least once, if not many times, have had the same thought that the Israelites had as they escaped the hand of the Egyptians, saying, "You brought us out here to kill us. I just know it. You brought us out here to starve us to death. I just know it."
Amen.
Now, this is not even what I intended to talk about this morning, but this is what the Lord is saying. And that's better than you listening to me talk about what I wanted to talk about. So we go, we hear a voice, the voice of one. How many?
One.
The voice of one. Don't ever underestimate. Don't ever underestimate the power
gone from bad to worse.
I kept it away as long as I could, Mike.
Dan,
that's all I can do for you.
You got as far away as you could? I don't know.
We do what we can do.
We do what we can do.
I agree.
The voice
of one, Yvonne. You've been one who have carried a voice. You've been a person who is, many have heard a voice through your voice. And few there be that find it. We hear a voice crying. We hear an appealing voice. We hear an alluring voice. We hear a voice that compels us. We hear a voice that motivates us and stirs us. And can I say to all of us, we know almost nothing about that voice. But we know whose voice it is. And we know when we hear and have heard that voice, that we must sell all, give all, turn and go and follow that voice. And when we follow that voice, we find at some point, we find that we become aware that we've come out into an unfamiliar place, an undeveloped place. A place that at times can seem and feel and is harsh and cruel. Not that we're ever disadvantaged. Not that we ever have a moment that we aren't completely cared for by our Father. That is Amen. Never the case. Amen. And the moment you think that, cast that down. That's an imagination that doesn't belong to you.
Come on.
That's a voice that didn't come from our Father's house and from our Lord's throne.
Amen.
Push it back. Cast it down. Get your focus and attention turned back to the glorious One who's always cared for you, always taken care of you, always done everything you needed for Him to do for you. The voice of one crying from the wilderness. So I had an opportunity 2 weeks ago to encourage Jeff and Joyce. I know about their life. I know the hardships. I know when they turned in favor of going toward the voice, I know what the cost was.
Yes.
Just like it has you.
That's right.
They turned. They burned the ships. And they struck out toward the unfamiliar. What did you think? What did any of us think?
I love Jesus with all my heart. We'll see. And you will see.
Yeah.
And you will see on the days when you don't love Him with all your heart. How that He still loves you with all His
yes.
heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And He never relaxes His grip on you.
Yes.
And He never lets you down.
Amen.
And He never turns away.
Yes.
And I prophesied to those two couples. And there was a gathered group there. And of course, we understand that the group in that basement on that Saturday afternoon, almost everybody in the group had come the same way. They'd come down the exact same road. How many times I heard Sam say this, actually said it to us. I don't know how long ago. It seems like an entire lifetime that we've been on this road.
And that's not a complaint, it's a report. It's just so full of the goodness of our Father. So it dawned on me that everybody in the basement that day was on the same road. Maybe, you know, Highway 71 is long. I-20 is long. Everybody's not at the same place on the road. But everybody who's heard the voice and answered the call is on the same road. So how often have we had the opportunity to say to people, on the day, on your worst day, on the day that you feel it's only you and you're all alone and nothing's happening and nothing's working and you may break under the weight of it all, take a moment.
Yes.
Get down on one knee and look at the footprints on the road. You will find my footprint. And you will find Sam's footprint. And you will find the footprints of all of those who have gone before us.
Yeah.
And who, you know, and who went over the wall and goblins didn't eat them. And the trolls under the bridge didn't bite their heads off. They actually lived to tell about it. And they lived to gain a testimony in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to encourage these guys about the investment that they have made over the decades, literally over the decades, the seeds of the kingdom that they've sown. And it all started by them hearing a voice of one crying from the wilderness. And they've gone out, and now they've been part of a much, much greater company that includes us. And we've been, you know, I remember saying to somebody 20 or 25 years ago, I said, what are y'all doing now? You know, those are always like loaded questions. It's like a minefield. Because you never know if you start saying what you're doing, you never know what the reaction is going to be.
That's right.
So, you know, I remember saying to a particular individual, we're building spiritual infrastructure. What does that mean? Well, we're drilling water wells. Oh, you're in mission? No, this is spiritual. We're drilling spiritual water wells in the desert. We're actually building a highway in the desert. We're putting up structure. We're building structure and shelter. You know, somebody's got to go ahead for the others to be able to come from behind. Behind isn't an inferior term. It's a term of art that specifies a timeline only. And now we've come to a place that it's very often that we say to people who are telling us of they're telling their story, or maybe they're sharing their woes or their discomfort about the place that they're in. And we don't laugh them off. This is serious business.
Yeah.
But we know some things, because we've been in that place and we've come through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
We've come through that dark night of the soul time and time and time again. We've come through it. And now we can say to people, don't despair. Don't despair. Remember, every day of your life, you've had a faithful Father. Every day. Don't despair. Come on. Pick them up. Let's keep moving. You're part of a much larger company. There are 7,000, and that 7,000 is a proverbial 7,000. It's not a literal 7,000. I'm the only one. No, no, you're not the only one. I feel so misunderstood. And all of the rest of us at times have felt so misunderstood. But that's part of it. That's part of... See, I continue to say to people, you can't realize for now what a gift God has given you in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. You'll realize it later. There'll come a time that you'll look back and say, without that circumstance, without those experiences, I never would have dot, 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 dot. So Jeff and Joyce, lift up your head. Dan and Darlene, lift up your head. Darlene's about to complete a master's course, master's degree course. A girl from the mountains who would have dreamed? Who would have dreamed? Had circumstances been different in their life, it's quite likely that Darlene wouldn't be about to complete a master's course, master's degree course. You know, and month in and month out, almost a 4.0. If you knew her, if you actually knew her, you would say, wow. Not because she comes across as unintelligent, but she's quiet, extremely reserved. Circumstances could have been different. God knows. God knows. So, a great opportunity to encourage them. But today, a great opportunity to encourage you. I'm going to tell you what I saw, Jeremy, during the time of worship. I saw treasures. I saw treasures in you that you have not yet seen. I saw treasures in you that you have not yet seen. I heard a singing voice, and I didn't. I'm going to tell you what I saw, but I'm not going to say more than I saw. I heard a singing voice coming out of one of you who didn't know you could sing. And I said, "What is that?" And it's a hidden treasure, and it's been hidden from you even. And it's been inaccessible to the rest of us because it's been hidden away and packed back into a place because of experiences and all of these things have covered it up. And I had the clearest sense that this is the time that many treasures are going to begin to emerge and come out of you that have been hidden away, even hidden from you over time.
Amen.
I mean, how many times have you heard people say, she's doing this or he's doing that these days? And Melinda just actually told me a story about a woman who was painting, and she didn't even know she could paint until the last, I don't remember the very brief time ago. Didn't know she could paint. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, life has a way of blocking us out away from those graces and those giftings and those good things of God. But I have the clearest sense that this is a time that those things are going to begin to emerge from many of you and from many of our brothers and our sisters. A year from now and 5 years from now, that testimony will be phenomenally common. I didn't know I could do this until 2019. It was sometime along about, I don't know, maybe the 3rd of November. I don't remember exactly when it was. I didn't know I could do this thing. I never had considered that I might enjoy this or I could do that. And all of a sudden, I had a thought one day and I pursued that thought and out of me and God put me and you can make up the rest of your own story because some of you will need to. I'm going to say this boldly. Part of the greatest, I'll say it this way, the greatest reason many don't pursue all that God has built them for is fear. Mm-hmm. The fear of failure. If I do that and fail, I mean, I'm dealing with some of this right now. The learning curve's too steep. It's too long, you know. And I don't have a can't teach an old dog new tricks mentality. But this thing presses against me. It's just too much trouble. It's just too much to go through to learn something new. What if the something you might learn new becomes one of the great passions and enjoyments of the rest of your life? And yes, you invested 18 months, you invested whatever the term and time is in the thing. Pam and Kathy, I want you to stand up, please. When I saw you today and I heard some of the things, and I didn't hear much, I just heard one of you or both of you say just a little snippet of this or that. I believe the word of the Lord came to me and said this. Because you set your heart to seek, so many years ago, you set your heart to seek. And you've wavered at times and you've slowed down at times and sped up at times. But your commitment to seek has never been in question. And because you set your heart to seek, God, I believe, is saying that He's bringing you into a season now. He's bringing you into a season of understanding. Here are the two key words, understanding and experiencing the times that we're in right now and how you ought to respond to that. Don't ever concern yourself with what you don't know or feel overwhelmed by the prospect of big change. Don't be concerned about that. Everything your Father requires from you, He furnishes to you. You never have to do the heavy lifting. But this is, make no mistake, this is a new season. This is a new day. Don't seek to define the now by your experience in the former. Those former things, if I can say God used them and taught us through them. But we've outgrown those garments.
That's right.
You've outgrown those garments. You've outgrown those mentalities and understandings. And this is the time now that you're going to receive wave after wave after wave of understanding. And God is going to super empower you with a grace to be able to experience the things that you're understanding in this new season. There's more about that I won't say to you prophetically, but I'm available. We're available to field questions and hear your thoughts about some of these things if you would so choose to reach in our direction. And that's not me applying for anything. You know me, and I think you know us and trust us. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May He lift your head in this season, give you dew in the desert in these times, so that you never feel that you are not refreshed in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Corporate. I heard for the corporate, that we're going to find that this is a season that God is shifting us from discipline to delight. Many things we've just kind of cinched our belt up. We've said, this is the right thing, this is the right way, and we're going to stay on this way. We're going to stay in this way. We're going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. But I'm saying to you that I believe the word of the Lord is, many of us will find that in this time, God will shift us from discipline to delight. David said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And oftentimes, there have been times that all of us have done the will of God simply because we knew it was the right thing to do. Yeah. Simply because we just fortified ourselves with a discipline to do what we knew was right. But the time is coming that there will be a growing delight in us, and our life will be attended by a delight that's produced by the grace of the living God. And what I want to do now is I want to make room. Now listen to what I'm saying. Please listen to what I'm saying. I want to make room for the prophetic. If you know that God has stirred you in the prophetic, and I stepped out of the room earlier and heard that stir. You know that God has stirred you prophetically to say something. Let's have it at this time. Please.
During praise and worship, I have cochlear implants. I lost my hearing about 7 years ago. And cochlear implants are wonderful for speech, but they're not so good for music. And I've led praise and worship for years and years, so I have a lot of history songs in me. But, and even secular songs, but especially praise songs. But a new song, I have a really hard time finding melody. I can't, you know, even I have to really listen to catch a melody in a song. And even old songs, if I don't know the song that's being sung, like, I don't know if Jeremy realizes, but I watch his lips really much. To figure out what he's singing. And if it's a familiar song, as soon as I know what song it is, it sounds perfect. You know, but if I can't figure out what the song is, I just can't hear the melody at all. And so when we were singing two of the songs that you did today were older songs that, you know, as soon as maybe a stanza or two for me to recognize what he was singing, then all of a sudden it sounds perfect, you know. Which to me is, your brain's amazing, you know, because it fills in for you. But the Lord was showing me that, you know, sometimes we'll start hearing a word and we'll go, or reading a passage in the scripture and go, oh yeah, I've seen that before. But sometimes when we get away, we let the cares of the world get in, you kind of lose some of the presence of the Lord and the teaching of the Lord. And as soon as you start hearing it and it's a little bit familiar, it comes back into you with force, just like the anointing just flowed, you know, when I realized the songs of, you know, it's like that God's presence can come back in. And so I think the Lord was saying, even, I mean, there's new foundation, but there's all bedrock there that you can count on. And don't despise it when somebody starts talking about something you've heard before. Listen to it, because God's going to use that to stir you and give you more revelation.
Good.
So.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Good.
Thank you. That which I was sharing with you earlier has been stirring in me, like I said, for several months, a couple for sure. And that was, Jesus, when he laid down his life, even to giving it on the cross, and the difference between, if, well, there's no difference, but in the spirit, he's a spirit man living in a body, Christ Jesus, and Jesus listened to Christ in him, and of course the world didn't see it, but he was He was listening to his spirit, which was listening to the Father. And he walked in his spirit, not his flesh. When he laid down his flesh, he didn't walk by his flesh. He didn't do anything according to his will. It was always his Father. And it dawned on me that in our struggle and wrestling with, we're talking about, that we wrestle in our mind with our spirit. Most people do. We was talking about it rather than knowing that we're born again and your soul is born again. It's no longer with the devil. It's fused back to your spirit. And in that sense, you walk by your spirit, being led. Your spirit leads your soul. You're intact, but you have to learn. And the other way, that there was a separation between the soul and the spirit, and it went downwards, of course, if you will. And so we're born again back into his presence, and we need to learn to stay there, following our spirit. And we walk by our spirit. That's what, you know, walk by faith, not by sight. All of those words are this spiritual walk. And, of course, he puts it perfectly on how a Christian is supposed to walk rather than why we die daily. We die daily to the world so that we can walk by our spirit. And walking by our spirit is the struggle, because the world confronts us. And this whole spiritual thing is, while it's out there, it's in you. And you have to get a hold of who you are, and that's spirit. And deny those things out here, or wherever they may be in your world, and to walk by this wonderful reality that I'm a spirit living in a body. Easy to say, but to walk it.
Yeah.
To choose to walk every day. And this reality is, again, this endless way that God forgives us, and how we forgive ourselves for whatever we've done, not to live in the past like was mentioned, but to move forward knowing that our sins are forgiven and we forgive ourselves. We are being on that road, and so many walked before us, and all the ones who are behind us, and here we are on this long river like the Mississippi, but we're not the whole river. We're in it, and our part is to witness to those around us that the good things of the Spirit come out of your mouth when you're talking. It's rather than what my sickness or whatever it might be, but the Word of God in the simplest of forms. And it sounds so simple to say that he gave his life. And so deep, so wonderful that I can have life. And without life, we're dead. And we were talking about that. We're that life that was breathed into me, into my nostrils, I received again. That life that I lost in my mother's 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 mother, my father's 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 father, in their sin, I kept breathing that thing. Even though I was ordained. I mean, it's incredible what the reality is, that you really are a spirit living in a body.
Amen. Amen. Dan?
A number of years ago, it's one of my favorite stories about Hunter. We were getting ready for church, and he was just a teenager, maybe 12 or maybe 13. And so we had the music on. You know, I have the Sunday service was on, and it was, I don't know, it was maybe First Methodist or First Baptist, but it was the old organ song. He said, "Dad, how could anyone listen to those songs?" I said, "Well, Hunter, back when those songs were written, that was, you know, that was, those were hot songs back then."
Top 40.
So this morning, we're at church before we came, and so they put up a new song, and I think spiritually I rolled my eyes, okay? You know, say there's a new song. Oh, that's what we need, another new song. But the words are, and Karen, this is for you. The words are this: "I met the author of my story, and he's mine, he's mine." And the bridge of the song was, "I am who I am because that I am said who I am. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been studying in Bible study about the fact that there's a book written about each one of us before we ever showed up on this planet. God, you remember in Jeremiah, says, I know the plans I have for you. Your plans are for good. They're not for evil. They're for success. The reason you can say that, because the book's already was written about you before you even showed up, or you were even in a bump in your mama's tummy. That book was already, God wrote that book about you. And it's our, and it's in, and it's written in words, of course, and everything in the kingdom is comes in, as we were talking earlier, it comes in word form. All seed is in word form. Everything that is accomplished in the kingdom starts as a word. And so this is a word to you that you've met the author of your story, and it's time to go ahead and come back and learn these things again and do that. So Michael was prophesying about you this morning earlier about singing and not being afraid to sing, because this is what will, this is the thing that kills kills the word, is the devil comes to steal things from us immediately. I mean, just like that. And he does it by fear. Oh, yeah, you can't sing, Karen. Yeah, you used to could sing, but you can't sing now. Mm-hmm. Or you play the guitar. No, you can't play the guitar. You can't do that. The devil's really good about fear. It's an illusion. It's not true. But if we believe it, then it becomes truth in our lives. So hear what was said to you, because that really was said to you. And if it's Gretchen singing, that's going to rank right up there with the parting of the Red Sea.
Pam.
I was raised on the Chesapeake Bay, and we always had powerboats. There's a friend of my stepfather's who was a much elderly man, and he became a widower in later years. And they would always go out on their sailboat. They had about a 28-footer. I had never really sailed except for a small one, you know. But my stepfather was concerned that this gentleman was going out on the Chesapeake Bay by himself. So I was about 16, and he asked me if I'd be willing to go with him and learn to sail. I said, oh, yeah. So we went out numerous times, but he never really trusted me with the tiller. You know, not at first, anyway. But over time, he began to trust me with the tiller. Now, this was only about 28 foot, but it did have a jib, which meant I could turn that thing over. You know. You ever seen those pictures where they're, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Anyway, attached close by the tiller on the starboard side was a compass. Now, when it got to the point where he could trust me with the tiller, he nonetheless came out about every 15 minutes, if he was in the cabin or he was wherever. He would come out and he'd check that compass. Now, when we would take off from where we were moored, he would say, we're going in such and such direction, aim in that direction. I'd say, okay. But he'd come out about every 15 minutes and he'd check that, and he'd tell me where I needed to go, 1 or 2 degrees starboard or port. I said, okay. So that went on for a while, and then I became curious, and I said, how come you check it so often? Because we're going in the right direction. I mean, that's the direction you told me to go in. That's the direction we're going. And he said, let me tell you, young lady. He said, we've got currents that you can't see. We've got wind, and we've got waves. And if we do not check the compass, by the time we think we're getting where we're supposed to be, we're going to be 300 to 500 miles off course.
Wow.
And I said, oh. God wants to say today, he put this strong in my heart early this morning, that that's what our lives are like. He can set us in a direction where we have to constantly be checking in with our compass and making sure it doesn't matter whether it's 1 degree or half a degree, down the road we'll be way off. So, like what Michael was saying earlier, listen to the voice. Don't be afraid to ask the voice, am I going in the right direction? Is there any changes that I need to make? Is there any degree, no matter how small it is, any degree change that I need to make? And show me what I need to do.
Good.
This just came to me. You know how when they put that rough patch on the shoulder of the road now. And sometimes you get on it.
Yeah.
You can tell when you're off course.
Indeed. Indeed. Steve?
This is obviously a beautiful and glorious day, but the Lord
mentioned to me this morning, it was only a fraction of a fraction compared to our his beauty and glory. And I became curious about the temperature of the day at this time when I heard those things, and it was 39 degrees. Of course, 39 is the number of stripes concerning healing. So when you take the illness and you remove it from the word illegitimate, then you come into sonship, which is, I believe, where he has is taking us.
Amen. Amen.
We were late. Sorry, we missed praise and worship. We have about an hour. Once you hit Shreveport, it's an hour 15. So once we get all the way back here, it's about an hour and 30 minutes or so. And that gives you time to think, you know. And so we were riding in the car this morning, and I knew I had already told Adam, I said, we're late. We're going to be late. And he kept going, no, we're going to be there just in time. I'm like, nope, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. So I just closed my eyes, and I was feeling a little frustrated about, you know, being late. And the Lord said, just hear me. You know, you're not late if you are where you're supposed to be. So I began to hear what he was saying, and I thought it was strange. But so in a way, what I'm going to say is kind of like a confirmation of everything you've said that we've already been through. But then it's a proclamation of what God is saying is happening as a congregation to all of us. But, you know, as many of you know, we end up, our life is completely different than it was 4 or 5 months ago. You know, we live in a farm. I had never grown anything in my life. I could hardly keep any plants alive. And then all of a sudden, we grew 200 pumpkins. You know, and they were beautiful. And let me tell you, pumpkin pie tastes delicious. I have never ate pumpkin pie before in my life. I never liked it. But I grew these pumpkins, so I decided I was going to at least try, you know. And now we're obsessed with pumpkin pie, apparently. So that was kind of the confirmation part of what Michael has been saying about these new things that God is showing us that we're doing. You know, we are farming, and it's just the strangest thing to say aloud, but that's where we are right now. So one of the things that we do as being on the farm is we have become caretakers of these fruit trees that my aunt had already planted before we got there. And since we lived in Louisiana, and we have frost and we have weather, you know, she planted them in a bucket. So we spent all weekend trying to take care of these trees from not freezing and all these kind of stuff. So anyway, we ran in the car, and yesterday I had prayed and I had told the Lord, I said, I don't know how to do this, Lord. These trees are not going to make it. You know, we have pepper trees, we have now peppers, we have lemons, we have limes, we have key limes. We have all these trees, and I said, and they're not going to make it, and I don't know what to do. And he said, it's okay. So as we're writing here, this is what the Lord said. He said, you know how the trees look like they're falling? And I said, yeah. He said, that's because they're bearing fruit. The fruit is so heavy, they're making the vines go down. But this is what I felt he said. Because we planted them in these buckets, it restrained the growth of the roots. But it still bear fruit. But it bears so much fruit, almost like before they were mature enough to carry it. So the weight of the fruit itself has made them worry, has made them tired, has made them to where their leaves are like almost touching the ground. And I said, well, Lord, I don't understand. Then what were we supposed to do? And I felt the Lord said the difference was that bucket represents the last season. We had to. There was no other choice. That was the only place where we could grow. But in this new season, the only way that we're going to carry fruit the right way to where the fruit is an actual blessing and not a curse is that we have to be rooted in the ground. It's the freedom of becoming a son. Why? And I saw this vision, and I saw the difference. And you know what the difference? The difference is the width of the trunk of the tree. Instead of this little twig, with its sleeves and these what's the word? Vines or branches, you know, all skinny, carrying the weight of this fruit, touching the ground, falling. And let me tell you, every fruit we found was not fully mature. But it would fall because the tree could not carry it. God said, and that's the declaration for this new season. Part of the delight is that the fruit will be mature. The fruit will not hurt us because the trunk has matured enough, because the roots have gone forth. So we would be what God said. We're studying trees this year. And you know the thing about trees? God loves trees. He talks about trees all over the world. And he says, what kind of tree must we be? And he has always meant for us to be a tree that's strong enough to stand, to carry the weight of the fruit. So I just wanted to share that and speak that into all of our lives, you know, that whatever inhibited us before, now God's setting us in a place to where our roots are moving and our trunk is mature enough and sturdy enough to carry.
Good, good. Anyone else?
And just to add to what Vivian just said, and that is that, you know, we don't realize it so often, but glory is a word for weakness. We can't support that glory without that subsystem and that maturity and that time and the processing it takes to be able to hold the glory.
Good.
I was just thinking that too, that the root is Christ.
You have to be grafted. It's the grafting. It's a grafted church.
That's right, because yeah. That's what I started seeing, and that's what he explained, that everything's grafted on.
Good. Good. Anyone else?
Vivian, that's such a cool word, because you can go so many places with it. Because if you try to plant a tree in Louisiana that's not acclimated to Louisiana,
yeah.
It's going to take a lot of work to keep that tree happy. If you plant that tree that's supposed to be planted in Massachusetts, it's going to bear more fruit than it would have in a pot in Louisiana. You know, and so we really need to listen to the Lord and let Him plant us where He wants us.
It goes with the word that you gave me.
Pardon me?
It goes with the word that you gave me.
Amen.
don't let what I'm doing now scare you. I'm not going to start this.
I'm leaving. That was introduction.
No. I wanted to read, in light of a number of the comments, I wanted to read just this portion. Jesus said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Now that's found in Matthew 16, 23 or 24, and I'm reading from the Peterson Message. If you're going to come with Jesus, you have to let Him lead. Far too often, we see the saints claim a life of being led by the Spirit, but say such things as, well, but we're nearing retirement. We couldn't possibly move to Massachusetts. Okay, I think you're right. You couldn't possibly. Uh-oh. So the point here is simply to say, in this season of the declaration, don't be a person who blocks out anything directionally that makes you uncomfortable. It's God's prerogative. Period. End of that verse. It's God's prerogative. The book's already written. It's God's prerogative to have you in this season move, go, stay, do, don't do. Check the compass frequently. Gather up everything that's being said here today and see what God is saying. This is certainly, you know, I hear people often say, you know, our best days are ahead of us. That those kinds of things, I say, they could be. They could be ahead of us. Our best days could be ahead of us. But if we don't check the compass, what was actually even designed to be our best days may end us up grounded on a reef somewhere. Now God can use that. Don't think I'm saying that it's a death sentence. I'm not saying that. But there's a more excellent way. There's a better way. So you've said I'm all in. You've said I ran the flag up. Over here, Jesus. You've said, my life is yours, Lord. Okay. Come on. Let's all those things. That's right. All those things. And look, I'm looking at a room full of fruit. It's not like we're not bearing fruit. But make no mistake, some of the things that some of you are afraid of are actually the will of your Father. Now, God may incrementally get you to a place that's a jumping off place, or you may jump off before you feel ready to jump. Whatever it is, hear the word of the Lord. A season of delight. A season of the tree and the vine sustaining the fruit until it comes to full maturity. So, I think I'll stop there. That's plenty for us to ingest, and digest, and have it's the encouraging word of the Lord. Amen. Well, we have Dan Fox coming on November the 15th. It won't be at gathering time, but Dan will be around. I think Dan is here for 6 days this month. We have, I'm thinking about doing a barbecue or some kind of a meal, but I'll let you guys know. While Dan is here, I'll let you know. Yeah, Melinda, I'll let you know. Yeah. Hey, did you say you rolled your eyes in the spirit? Let me tell you.
You got the physical version.
Let me tell you, I just saw the antithesis of in the spirit. She actually rolled her eyes. It's our life. What can I say? It's our life. But wonderful to see you guys. Thank you for making the trip. Kathy, have you been in gatherings since we moved into the home? Would you stand, please, and introduce yourself? Let's make sure all these guys know you.
You don't know me. I'm Kathy Burns from Lufkin. My husband Kenneth usually comes, but he was forbidden today because I needed this time. So I don't know what else to tell you. we're on a process. Word went right along with everything that we are going through. Everything. I mean, it was like spot on. And on our travels here, me and Pam prayed for direct answers from God, clear and direct answers. We asked for that specifically. And even though they didn't come in a direct word, while you were speaking, God spoke to me and gave me the exact answer.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I have to say about that. Gee, thanks. you wrecked my message.
Well, we did ask.
Well, you asked, and your father answered, and we would never have it any other way. Amen? But you guys, goes without saying, but I will say it. This is home for you. You always have a place here.
And we always feel it.
Yes. Well, we always feel the maintenance, the divine maintenance of the connection that God has given to us. So. Praise the Lord. Yes, Christine.
I was just going to say, in relation to what you were saying earlier and what some other people said, I was thinking about, you know, when you're planting things, you know, how things grow in nature, like kind of in guilds, you know what I'm saying, where there's multiple species of plants that tend to group together and grow together because they bring different things. And even like the Native Americans, you've heard of the three sisters when you plant corn, beans, and squash together, because they all provide something different. You know, the corn is kind of like, you know, it provides a structure for the beans and the squash to wind around and shade, and the beans bring the nitrogen up from the soil and things like that. And so I think where we're planted is so important, because if we're not planted with the right people around us that provide those other things, we're not going to grow and bear the same kind of mature and healthy fruit. And so, you know, we may have been sitting in our pots for a while, but so I think it's strategic where we go and where the Lord plants us amongst the other people who are going to be part of that guild that brings everything. So it's so important that we're strategically planted.
It's so funny you said that, because what he told me yesterday, because I was telling my aunt, I want to move this pot over there, and she said, no, he needs to be next to that one. And the Lord said to me, it won't taste the same. The fruit itself will not taste the same. If you move it next to that one, it has to be that one. And it's so funny, because even though they're in pots, mm-hmm. the tomato and the peppers and the jalapenos and all that, they cross to each other mm-hmm. and help each other. So it's important, you know, we have been cried out to God, to, like, we're in the middle of no, I mean, we're literally in the wilderness. I mean, there's no neighbors. Okay, if you count the cows, then yes, we have neighbors. But, you know, I mean, there's no one. It's just the middle of nowhere, really. And so we're like, God, I mean, we're out here on our own. What is our fruit supposed to taste like? But even in those moments, the position of where we are, the people that we are around, it interferes with what our fruit is going to taste like. And well, the thing is that yeah. God is going to bring the people that when they taste it, it's going to be the perfect taste for them.
And if you're familiar with Michael Rizzi, you know, has anybody heard of that?
No.
It's the fungal, it's kind of like a fungus, it's like a network of, not just fungus, but it's that grows under the ground. So if a plant's not in the ground, but it's in a pot,
right.
it cannot communicate and transfer nutrients, which is what happens. This exchange happens on this level that you can't really see. I mean, trees even communicate with each other to say who they want around them.
Wow.
It's pretty, there's whole books and things written about it, but the thing is, when we're not actually planted in the soil, we don't get that connection that would be there otherwise, which in this case I believe is, you know, it's a spiritual connection, but it's, there's something really profound about that. I could think about that all day, actually, but anyway, yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, let us be going. Why don't you guys stand? Feel free to hang back and fellowship, encourage one another. If you feel like you have some word of encouragement for someone, you know you're free to do so. Otherwise, God bless you. We'll see you again when we see you.